we begin with the sermon, thank you for your great hospitality and kindness. This is a wonderful, special place. As I said to someone this morning, if you can't find God here, you're in big trouble. Both inside these walls and outside these walls. And it's a great blessing to be here with you today to celebrate Eucharist and to celebrate Holy Baptism. But let me tell you a story. The baby boy was born in the usual way, but in a small village in rural Haiti, the poorest quarter of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. The young parents loved their son, just like we all love our children. They loved their son, and while they didn't have much, they were determined to do everything that they could do for their little boy. When Alex was 7 years old, the family moved to Port-au-Prince so that he could attend what his father called a proper school. In Haiti's capital is where Alex Ndrache first saw the Americans. They were U.S. Marines in Haiti on a humanitarian mission. They were delivering food and much-needed medical supplies. And Alex was completely taken with these young men and women, their uniforms so crisp, their faces so bright and hopeful. He loved their competence. He thought the technology on their equipment was amazing, but most of all, he was touched by their deep kindness and their compassion. He was touched that they took an interest in him and his other 7-year-old friends. In fact, some of the Marines who flew these big Chinook helicopters invited them into the cockpit and showed them how all of it worked. And of course, these boys had never been anywhere, and they wanted to hear from the Marines about all of their travels, about all of their adventures. And those Marines were happy to oblige and tell some stories. And on the day that the first American helicopter left, Alex chased after it through a field as it flew overhead. He waved and waved and waved until finally one of the people on the helicopter reached out and waved to him. That was something he would remember forever. To keep a roof over their heads and food on the table, Alex's father worked as a tailor, making and mending clothing. And his mother worked in the city with a little cart, selling gum and candy and little trinkets. And they knew that their son was bright, and they were determined, absolutely determined, that he would get a good education. At 5 o'clock every morning, Alex's father got up with his son and sat at the kitchen table and worked on homework together. And they did this mostly in their native language of Creole and some French. They were also sure that their son needed to learn English. And so they had English lessons at 6 o'clock every single morning. In 2009, after years of working and waiting, a dream came true for Alex Ndrache and his family. They were granted a visa to come to America. So with all of their belongings in a couple of suitcases, they boarded a boat in Port-au-Prince, and they sailed to Baltimore, Maryland. Can you imagine how afraid they were, how excited they were to come to this country, this mysterious place that they had only seen in their dreams? Today we hear this image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We hear the 23rd Psalm, and we hear Jesus' compassion for people who are unwell, saying he treated them with kindness because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And we love the 23rd Psalm because of the pastoral imagery, of course. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. But we also love it, and it holds a high place in the Christian tradition because it was one of Jesus' favorite ways to describe how God longs for us, how God is connected to us. In the year 2024, we're living in a culture that is badly disconnected from the source of things. Most of us get our water from the tap or pay too much for it at the grocery store, so we don't know where all the springs are, where we might find water if we needed to. We don't know the source of important things, and so it's easy to lose track of who we are. It's really easy to lose track of what's really important. And although we don't care to admit it in public, we feel pretty mixed up sometimes. We can't really find our way. We don't really know why we're doing the things that we're doing. We know in our bones that all is not well with our souls. Garrison Keillor, who I find wickedly funny, says that having good looks and money is kind of like having four-wheel drive. It means you can get lost in more and more remote places than anyone else. And even though we try not to let it show, in important ways, we have to admit that we're lost, that we're strangely lost. This is why Jesus preaching today matters to us so much. The truth is, until we really know who he is, we will never know who we are. We will never know who we are or why we walk this earth. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. You see, the scriptures tell us the most important thing that we need to know, that staying close to the shepherd is everything. If the shepherd has made provision for today and for tomorrow. And God longs for us to live this way, like shepherd and sheep, like vine and branches. We have so much to be thankful for, and we're aware of that as we worship in this beautiful place, as we look at all the blessings of our lives. We have so much for which to be thankful. And we savor these things as people of faith, because we get not only the gift, but the giver. We know whose fingerprints are all over the beauty that we see around us. But we are children of God, the citizens of his kingdom. The great preacher Phillips Brooks said, "In Christ all broken lines unite. In him all scattered sounds are gathered into harmony." I just love that. And in the only prayer that Jesus ever taught us, the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth, as it is in heaven." We pray this prayer every Sunday, maybe every day. And that's God's dream. That's the main thing, the kingdom. Not the world as it is, or even the world made a little better. The world as God dreams for it to be, healed and whole, perfect in every way, and fear cast out in every corner of our lives, nothing but the pureness of God's love, where a place is made ready for everyone, where forgiveness and renewal are possible, and beginning again is part of the everyday, where God's peace reigns over everything and everyone, even you, even me. As people of faith, we live with this hope. We live with this hope of the world made new. And Jesus gives us an amazing invitation. It's not only to enjoy it and appreciate it, but to actually work on the side of the angels to help usher in the kingdom day by day by day in the way that we live our lives. This is a great blessing of our faith. The mother of a dear, dear friend of ours was in need of a kidney transplant for a couple of years. After testing everybody in the family, everybody that they could even imagine might be a match, it came up with nothing. It was determined that none of them was a suitable match, and it was looking pretty dire. And that's when, last summer, almost out of the blue, a woman in her late 30s from her church, someone she barely knew, said, "I think I should be tested." She was a match. And she said she could not wait to give that transplant, to give her kidney to her sister in Christ, as she called her. And suddenly our friend's mom has a new lease on life. This is it. This is the kingdom ethic. This is the dangerous unselfishness of the kingdom of God lived out on earth as it is in heaven. And it puts us where we need to be, to focus on what really matters, to remember and recall what really matters in this life. It puts us on the side of the angels, where we're awakened to what is most essential in daily living. A young woman in Tallahassee, Sue Massa, just had a baby and was in need of a washer and dryer. She and her husband found a good used set online. The guy was asking $500. It was an old man on Perkins Street. She said, "I told him that we just had a baby and that money was tight. Would he take $400? And when they got the washer and dryer home, everything seemed like it was fine. It seemed like it was working pretty well until she opened the dryer. And that's when she found her $400. A gift from the old angel on Perkins Street. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In Ecuador, a young mother tells the pastor, "You're not going to believe this, but God came to my house last night." And the pastor says, "Well, how do you know that?" And she said, "Because when I woke up this morning, there were 3 bags of groceries on the step." And he said, "Well, there's a program at the church, and we distributed groceries to everybody in the church family." And she said, "Oh, you silly man." She smiled and gave him a big hug. She said, "My babies went to bed hungry, and now they're fed. If that's not God, I don't know what is." This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, where to give is to gain. And the only way to find yourself is to give yourself away. In Christ, all broken lines unite. In him, all scattered sounds are gathered into harmony. In May of 2016, this absolutely stunning photograph was posted online by the United States Army. It was a photograph taken at the graduation ceremony at West Point. You can imagine what kind of affair the graduation at West Point is, as 1,000 promising, eager young cadets take their vows, get their orders. It's a tradition and holds an array of emotions and moods that come over this place, different every year, they say, but always with this deep sense of excellence and commitment and patriotism. Well, this photograph that the Army posted online was shared by literally thousands of people and then millions of people. It is a staggering, staggering photograph. It's taken just before the cadets threw their white hats in the air to celebrate their achievement. This keen-eyed photographer snapped this picture of a tall, very thin, brown-skinned cadet in his dress uniform, with tears just streaming down his face, tears of gratitude and awe on the face of Second Lieutenant Alex Adrasche. Staggering. In just 7 years, Alex went from speaking basic English in a rundown neighborhood in Port-au-Prince to his graduation from one of the most prestigious institutions in the world. In a class of 950 cadets, Alex graduated in the top 25, and by the way, he also won the physics prize. And he was elected the regimental commander of his class. When asked by a reporter how this impossible thing could have happened, Alex smiles and he says, "My parents sacrificed everything so that I could go to school. And every day my dad said to me, education is the only gift that I have to give to you." And Alex smiles and says to the reporter, "Now you know how they turned their son into a bookworm." For 3 years after Alex and his family arrived in America, while he mastered English and prepared for his U.S. citizenship exam, he served in the Maryland National Guard. And his bravery and his commitment was so stellar that the bosses there took notice, and they made sure that he was advanced, that he was lifted up. And so he made his way to West Point, and then the Army sent him to flight school. In 2021, after a terrible earthquake rocked Haiti, a country that hadn't even recovered from an earlier earthquake, the news coverage was all about the response, the humanitarian response, and especially the U.S. military's involvement in that response. And in the middle of it all, Commander Alex Adrasche, now the pilot of a Black Hawk helicopter, arrived in Haiti, and the children received him like our conquering hero. He came with supplies that were needed, food and medical things, but most of all, he came with hope. He greeted those children with such joy. He showed them around his helicopter, and he encouraged them with his own story. 11 years earlier, as a boy, he was comforted by the arrival of American soldiers there who brought the food and medical supplies they needed. Now he was one of them. Now he was one of them working on the side of the angels, living the kingdom life of dangerous unselfishness, turning the gifts that he'd been given into the gifts he would give away for the healing of this beautiful, broken world. You see, it's simply true. In Christ, all broken lines unite. In him, all scattered sounds are gathered into harmony. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.